All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight in the world of sports, baseball well underway, and while we don't have the Reds tonight, we will have them for the rest of the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, as Milwaukee is in town. And those are all 7 o'clock starts. Kentucky Derby is this weekend. Pacers have a big decision to make, and maybe Larry Bird has already made it, as he has a press conference called for tomorrow morning. Free agents, of course, now identified from the standpoint of Pacers that might be leaving. And we have a couple soccer underdog stories to tell you about this week. But first, we start with the Pacers. Again, they've got press conference scheduled for tomorrow morning. Larry Bird does, and all indications are that it revolves around Frank Vogel and maybe the plan for the offseason. And Glass, we've talked about this for the last couple weeks now, what to do with Frank Vogel. He's a good coach. I think a lot of people identify he's a good coach, but I have speculated, I've asked the question, are they really talking? Are they communicating properly? Are they in the same, I don't know what you call it, in the same ballpark, I guess, Larry Bird and Frank Vogel, as far as what they want their team to be? Larry Bird talked a lot last offseason about wanting to get smaller, wanting to get up and down the court more, wanting to score more. They did score more points than they did the year before. But then halfway through the season, they had to change things up. Credit Frank Vogel for changing things up that weren't working. But is it what the style that Larry Bird wants to play? Does that all mesh? So, I mean, to me, I think that's a huge key, because I think most people identify that Frank Vogel can coach at this point.
And the level of how he can coach or where he can coach is again, up for discussion, because he is no longer under contract.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Frank Vogel will be part of that tomorrow. The information I have out of Indianapolis is Nate McMillan will be the next head coach of the Indiana Pacers. We'll see if that's announced tomorrow. Tomorrow is usually just a end-of-season press conference that is scheduled, where Larry Bird makes his missives and reflects back on the season and
what are you gonna do?
Gives you an idea of what's going on forward. But that is the rumor in Indianapolis this afternoon, that Nate McMillan will be the next head coach. Now, again, whether that happens or not, you'll stay tuned. And if they introduce him at the press conference tomorrow, then you'll have your answer. And if they don't, I don't know how long they stick around and wait for this. But Vogel's out of contract, right?
That's not. I believe it is up.
It should be up, and it's out. But when you're putting together this team of the Pacers, and you look at it, and we went through this on Monday pretty deeply, there's plenty of holes and there's plenty of gaps. This isn't a Pacer team that's maybe a player away. It's maybe two players away, and that's not terrible in the world of the NBA. But where do the Pacers get those players? And again, they've had some good luck with guys that have been, I don't want to say marginalized, but Rodney Stuckey wasn't a 17-time All-Star in Detroit.
Right.
C.J. Miles wasn't holding down 82 games starting in, where was he, in Utah or Dallas or wherever
they
it was.
They were productive, but these were not stars.
They're almost, I don't want to say it's Moneyball, because I don't think that's it, but I think they look for some guys to fill holes. And when those guys don't stand up and get counted at the biggest times, well, they're still under contract. So Bird made a big deal last year getting rid of Hibbert and obviously making sure, trying to get that to work. But this Pacer team has really been, back to your point, three different teams in the last 3 years. You had an Eastern Conference final team that was the number one seed. You had a team without Paul George's broken leg that didn't make the playoffs. And then you had something right in the middle of what they were this year. So you really haven't had any you haven't had a run of form that you can say, oh, here you go. You started with, look, you got Hibbert, almost the defensive player of the year. You've got up-and-coming star in Paul George. You've got guys around him that can kind of put the ball in the basket. You've got veteran leadership in David West. You had a very wild card in Lance Stephenson. You've had all these moving parts, but it never settled in. You never had the feeling, even when the Pacers were the one seed, that they had a real good idea of who was going to be in charge. That whole rumor at the end of that the year about Stephenson taking rebounds and who's going fishing right with who and what's going on with all that. So that didn't work itself out very well. Obviously, getting rid of Hibbert and deciding to go small, the players brought into that, did they fire? I don't know. We went through Monte Ellis' numbers on Monday. Is Monte Ellis going to be better next year? I think he can't not be. That's the thing that's encouraging.
He's a natural scorer. Why wouldn't he be?
And did Vogel use him wrongly? I mean, that's been argued as well. Ellis takes shots. He needs shots to be effective. Mm-hmm. Monta Ellis isn't more of, he's not a control point guard. He's
He averaged 3.5 fewer attempts.
There you go. And how many, his points were down, what, 4?
Yes.
So that's a big drop off. Absolutely. Because Monta Ellis is getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Presumably
to score. That's what he does.
Yeah, if his deal's $48 million or $50 million or whatever it is, I don't care what year one is and year four is of that deal. It averages out to be around 12.
A little less, but yeah. I mean, it's 10 million, 10.3, 10.7 next year. It gets up to 11.7.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. And you have to have production with that money, because here's the problem. The Pacers and their ownership don't exceed we talk about this every summer. Yeah. Every single summer, they do not exceed the luxury tax cap at all possible. And if there's that certain player that knocks them over a million or two, yeah, they might eat that. But they're not going to go New York Knicks this and just load up on guys, or the Lakers and load up on guys. They're not going to do it. They need the guys who have been brought in to produce. And a guy we really left out on Monday, and it was because he forced us to leave him out, Jordan Hill, he played 73 games.
Yeah.
But when did he not play? In the most important time of the season, down the stretch in the regular season when they were fighting to get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So whatever happened between him and Vogel, how does a guy play 73 games and stop playing?
And just stop.
Did he get fat? Did he not show up on time? Did he have some problems internally? Well, those are answers that Pacer fans need to hear about. So you hope those are questions, but Hill's not under contract.
Right.
He's up too. So you've got that problem. You've got the Solomon Hill issue hanging over the Pacers.
Ian Mahaney, who's a very nice player for the Pacers this year. I think you got everything you wanted out of him.
Jan Mahimi and Solomon Hill all made themselves more. They are going to be overpaid next year because of their performance in the last 6 weeks. And Jordan Hill is going to be underpaid next year because of his performance. And all of that did was get the Pacers to 7 games, which was fine. That's great for a 7 seed. The way they lost, it hurts because there were 2 games they should have won. Otherwise, that they could have won the series and moved on. They didn't happen. So you've got this almost, hey, let's just let it go. Everything's great. We're right there. Mm-hmm. Almost beat Toronto. Well, let's see how Toronto does, by the way. And then there's the, where are you going? Where is this going to be? Are you going to be big? Or are you going to be small? Or is Lavoie Allen your starting center next year? Is it going to be a revolving door?
Lavoie Allen disappeared in the playoffs also.
You try to bring back a Jordan Hill type player. You try to bring in another Chase Budinger type player who didn't work out. So the Pacers, the swings and the misses, again, it's really good when you have all the ingredients on the counter, but when you put them together, make the omelets really tasty. You know, you don't eat raw eggs by itself. You cook them up. Hey, these aren't bad. But what happens is it a Vogel problem because it didn't come together? Or is it a Bird problem because he didn't give Vogel the right pieces? Yes. I think the answer to all those questions is simply yes.
It has to be. I mean, that's what chemistry comes down to in an organization, is you've got to be on the same page. You've got to be looking for the exact same thing. And yes, your coach should have to, you know, if it doesn't work out, you pull some strings and see what you can do. And again, that's where I think Vogel deserves some credit. I don't think you look at this and you say Vogel's a lousy coach, but the organization has to be on the same page. We saw that with the Colts also. And they sang Kumbaya and they got together.
Well,
hopefully that'll end up working. But you still don't know if it'll work until you try to put the pieces in place and see if you can do it.
And the problem with this is not my creation, not my observation. I'm going on Larry Bird's past history and his assessment of what's going on. After 4 or 5 years, the group, the core, tends to tune out the guy in charge.
That's right.
And sometimes you have to turn around and do something to get their attention.
And does that matter when the core is only 2 guys right now? Because the only guys that have been around for any of this have been Paul George and George
Simmons,
Hill.
Bill Simmons, if you follow him, suggested there could maybe be just one core guy after this offseason.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. So you suggested it there before the break. It's been suggested by Bill Simmons, rumors are. And you've got to consider this at least. No, I don't think most Colts fans want to hear it, but who's the big guy?
Pacer fans, sorry.
That's all right. It's confusing at this time because it's the off season for everybody.
Exactly right.
Paul George is due a lot of money over the next 3 years, and everybody would like to have a Paul George if they can fit him in. And so the speculation you had was Paul George going to?
Well, the Los Angeles Lakers have made it known, it sounds like, in circles around people like Bill Simmons and people that hang out with the NBA that he is on their radar. And he's from Fresno, Lakers fan, I guess, growing up as a kid, things like that. Pacers owe him a ton of money. What, 4 years, $75 million, I think we just added up?
Yeah, the three, the one is gone, so it would be about 58 right now.
On what's forward. Left there?
Yep.
And obviously, if you would move George, you would get some large, large pieces in return. And the reason this is even brought up is kind of what we were toying with before we went to the break. The Pacers aren't, I don't think they're that one player away.
No.
They could be close, but you're hoping that George Hill continues to hopefully produce at his age. You hope that Monte Ellis turns it around. You hope that Rodney Stuckey, CJ Miles, and anybody else who is on that bench not named Solomon Hill gives you anything. That wasn't the case in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. So to me, it doesn't look like, hey, let's just keep the band together and see what happens. There's two sides of the story that make you think. Number one, the exciting part would be what you could get for George. And while the Pacer fans are going to yell and scream and go crazy, you're right. You probably should. Because how do you sell out an arena without a big player?
Exactly.
You got to win games. And if you trade short for young for an established superstar, you're hoping that, what, if you get four guys in return, that three of them turn out to be really good players?
Well, I'm looking right now at what the Lakers can actually trade.
They don't have a lot of guys on there.
He would be the one you'd have to have. Julius Randle is, they don't have a lot of guys on contract after this year.
That's the issue.
That's the thing, is that they just don't.
They're going to dump money.
It's Lou Williams, Nick Young, D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, Larry Nance Jr., and Anthony Brown.
You start with D'Angelo Russell. He was the third overall pick last year. The Lakers are going
to
pick in the top three again this year.
And you got to have that third pick.
Well, that pick's going to go.
And you got to have Julius Randle, don't you? If you're talking Paul George at minimum.
If Paul George is being asked for because you are not offering,
exactly.
You get out the list and you write down everything.
Come on.
And then you can start at the bottom if you're the Lakers and start crossing stuff off. You're not going to start at the top.
Right.
You can start at the bottom and start working your way up there. Luke Walton's a brand new coach in Los Angeles. Again, the Lakers have been dormant as they've seen Kobe Bryant off into the sunset.
Yep.
His injuries and his salary has killed that team.
And again, they lose a lot of the salaries off of this. Kobe, and Roy Hibbert
was
right
Kobe
there
making? Are 33 40. Million?
He was at 25. Roy Hibbert's at 15 last year. They lose both those come
there
off
you
the
go.
Books.
So there's 40 million. There's 20 million for Durant, 20 million for George, and away you go.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of moving pieces there. Who gets, you know, how do you get Durant? How do you get George and all of that, too? You'd have to involve a lot of teams. It sounds awfully, awfully pie in the sky to me, certainly in one off season. I mean, Durant's not a free agent at this point.
But I think that Simmons made an interesting point, was not saying it was going to happen, but if you're the Pacers, don't you have to listen?
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's what you have to do, because it presents a situation where you can sell young, upcoming, together,
sure.
New, as mm-hmm. opposed to George, handcuffed. Three players for one player. I mean, I understand how good Paul George is. Don't get me wrong. That's not about that. But if you this isn't a one-for-one deal that you hope works out. But the
you'd need all that, and then how do the Lakers get Kevin Durant out of all that, too?
He's a free agent.
Is he? Unrestricted right now.
That's the whole deal. So again, it's going to
that makes sense.
It's going to be, but again, Durant doesn't have anything to do. Let's say Durant says, "Forget it, I'm going to Washington." They're going to do this. I'm going home, and then they have more money to throw at Paul George.
Yeah, right.
You're going to get the extra $20 million on top, and you're going to get however that works out. So it is nothing short of interesting. But I know one man on the telephone who will give us an opinion of how the blue and gold should work their magic moving forward. It is our good friend Terry Stultz. Terry, good afternoon. How are you? And the buttons.
I'm sure Terry loves this idea.
This is a great idea. If we could just find a way to get him on the air.
Well, we'll figure that out here in a minute. But look.
There he is. T, are you there?
Hey, there you go. You got it.
You have to listen.
Yeah. Well.
I don't know that you do it, but you have
first
to listen.
Of all,
I think you
got
to listen.
You guys, as I join both of you occasionally, you have a radio show, so obviously you have to bring up points and think that are possible.
Offseason is full
one,
of speculation.
That's right.
Bill Simmons is only saying something to try to get himself back into relevance in the sports world, which he is not. So he can take a fly and a leap. And the Lakers need a buzz because they got nothing out there.
Well, and so, I think that's where this connection is brought. You got
exactly.
You got a Fresno guy. You got grew up a Laker fan. Love Kobe. All that. Kobe's gone. And the other thing that Dave just mentioned before I was trying to get you on there is the Lakers have a pot of gold that is ginormous.
Yeah, they're talking about James Harden too. They've mentioned George and Harden, both of these guys.
There's not even close. If you put Paul George and James Harden, there was not even close who they take. No. They would bite their arm off for Paul George because he defends. He does everything. The Los Angeles Lakers, unlike the Pacers, cannot live without a marquee player. They can't. Not in that market. Not with that TV money. Not with the expectation of the fan base.
But
they can't.
Draft spot or not. There's not a draft spot nor anybody on the Lakers that the Pacers would ever consider making that trade.
Well, one for one.
Not
no.
one for one.
No,
that would be
that's
a
what we
four
said.
For
no,
one.
No, no, no. I don't know. I know. You get a draft choice and a couple of players. They don't have two players anybody wants.
No, that's
why.
Looking at their roster, they don't have a lot of contracts going forward anyway, so they don't have a lot of players. It would be D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle. I mean, it'd have to be those two minimum, and then after that, you still don't have a whole hell of a lot that entices you other than the third pick, and that might not be enough.
It wouldn't be enough for me, and I doubt that it's enough for Larry Legend either, but
Larry Legend's got us.
We've seen him sillier things.
He's been wheeling and dealing, no question about it. What are your thoughts on Nate McMillan perhaps taking over as the Pacers head coach?
Well, if you're going to go with somebody, number one, I like Vogel. I'm more in the camp of he didn't have exactly what he needed this year. And there was a few injuries that hurt Stuckey for a while, Miles for a while. And obviously Ty Lawson wasn't what we thought he was going to be. Okay. If it is time, and to say, Glass, you brought it up, and you guys both have, this 4 to 5 year thing and the leaders tuning you out is total crap unless you're losing all the time. Then they tune you out. Vogel's first year as he came in, they didn't have a winning record, but that was more as somebody else's fault than his. And they have had every other year, I think, even last year. Didn't they have a winning record or right at 500 last year?
It was right
maybe
near
500. Maybe they're a game or two under.
And the only thing about that is there's really only two players that have been here for the 4 or 5 years, and that's
exactly.
The two Georges.
Yeah, so I think in this case, I don't buy Larry's own argument, but you know, if you'd had a lot of losing in those 6 years, I would agree with that. But hey, having said that, Nate McMillan's coached the team to the finals before. He's a player. He obviously has a good coaching resume and was an all-star player with Seattle back in the day. So if you're going to take somebody that's just on the bench and move him a couple seats over, and Larry really believes that this is the time to get rid of Frank, then that's a great choice.
And he
the other
he,
names I'm hearing,
he was
Mark
had,
Jackson.
Sure, Kevin McHale.
Yeah.
Kevin McHale, no. Not with this bunch. Not in my opinion. Not with this bunch.
That's
everybody would identify with
around.
Mike Jackson. Nate McMillan was with the Trailblazers for a little while, too, as a head coach.
Yes.
He's got some experience there. Been assistant coach for a long time. Look, you have to – the Pacers at this point in time, I mean, you look at their roster and you don't say, wow, like Glass said, they're not one player. They're not two players away from making this big push right back to the top. That's what's interesting about blowing the team up that they had a couple years ago when it was. Because it was it was. So, I mean, they took that chance, and now you're the seventh seed and missed it last year.
I think they are a player away, maybe two – maybe a one starter and one bench guy away from being that good again.
Well, they got to reincarnate the guys they still have, also because they were not delivering at the end of the season.
No, there's a few of those guys that have to play better. There's going to be a couple other pieces made. I'm not blowing this team up yet because they did enough changing last year. You know, for a team that didn't make the playoffs and their best player was hurt all year except for 6 games, to come back and win 45 games, and if you split the games they just lost at home, should have won another 5 or 6, and trying to change their style of play, I hate blowing things up right now. I'd give them another year. I'd definitely give them another year, including Coach Vogel. But, you know, for some reason there's major angst in Indianapolis over taking the number 2 seed to the 7th game and not closing them out, and they probably should have won that series, But
maybe
I don't think
maybe Bird maybe Bird's mad about that. That'll be interesting to hear his thoughts. If he said, "Hey, look, I gave you these pieces. We had Toronto on the ropes three times. We only knocked them out once.
Right.
We lose the game seven. Some of the stuff down the stretch wasn't exactly going to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame there in the last couple minutes of those games. You got a 13-point fourth quarter lead. You've got guys, again, that Larry brought in, but I'm guessing Vogel had to have some say on who he wanted into this. But Dave's right. Monte Ellis didn't fire this year. He didn't. No. He didn't. Solomon Hill didn't do anything to the last 6 weeks. I couldn't believe they gave Solomon Hill 82 games last year and then didn't renew him on November 3rd.
Yeah.
They gave him a year-long tryout, and then Jordan Hill doesn't fire. So you bring in Jordan Hill, you bring in Monte Ellis last year, mm-hmm. you bring in Chase Budinger.
You get rid of Budinger halfway through the season.
You get of three guys, you get 2.5 and nothing. You got half an Ellis, and you got nothing from those other guys in the biggest part of the year from you. So who are the Pacers are just going to keep going through this garage sale, you know, every 2 years, mm-hmm. kind of recycling some guys in around George. I don't know what Paul George feels about that. I mean, obviously he'd have to be traded, and that's a whole different story on that. But the Pacers, with this extra money, everybody's got the extra money. So really nobody has any extra money. It's everybody's on the same playing field. And with not pushing the salary cap, luxury tax, and all of that, are you looking to – where's the draft pick going to be, Terry? 17, 18, somewhere in there? I mean,
it's going to be down there.
That's going to be
– Monte Ellis deferred way too much this year just trying to fit in with what he still deemed as kind of like a veteran group. I mean, Naheem's been around for a couple years. I think he deferred way too much to Paul George and to George Hill, who always runs hot and cold. My thoughts are I would almost bet you that you're going to see Monte Ellis back up 17, 18 points.
Oh, he has to be. If not, he should give back some of the money he's getting paid.
And again, the guys are talking about C.J. Miles, Rodney Stuckey, Monte Ellis as your veterans at this point. These are not guys that have made their money in the league on defense. So to play a style where you're asking them to play defense and we have to keep
Rodney
talking
Stuckey
about their bad
you.
Defense at the end of these games, that's not the way we're supposed to be talking about those guys. You don't bring them in so that you can talk about their defense.
It was just interesting to see half the team you had – Mahimi played great the last, what, Terry, 2 months into the playoffs?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
You had Stuckey was hurt the entire time. Ty Lawson didn't even count. Jordan Hill all of a sudden goes AWOL with six weeks left in the season. He's completely gone. You've got George Hill running up and down. Did Monte Ellis score 20 points in any of the seven games? Against Toronto?
I don't know,
we talked a little bit about that on Monday, and I'm harping on that, but what do you mean you can't? You had seven tries to do it. If you're not going to do it, then when are you going to do it? And it's 3-for-10, it's 3-for-10, it's 3-for-11, except the nights you go 7-of-14. That's fine, but at those situations, you have too many guys that are – you didn't expect anything from Solomon Hill and Mahimi, you got everything. And those aren't the guys you needed it from. You needed it from the rest of the gang, and C.J. Miles was terrible.
15 points out of Monte Ellis in three games. He was in single digits in three of the games also.
So you can't be in single digits in a playoff series against a two seed. You can't do it.
No, I agree.
And that's the tough part.
I know you guys are right up on a break, so I'll just say this team is a lot closer to being really good again than people think. There's no way you want to blow it up. There's no way you get rid of it. The guy that was so far has been the best player in the playoffs right now. Of course, he's out now, but he was the best player in the playoffs in the first round. If you want to change a coach and bring in a little more of an old school, tougher approach, that's fine. But I'd like to see maybe a piece or two here and there, and let's see what.
I think you have to do all the above. I think you need a new voice. I think you need some more pieces. I think you need stuff that you got to give Paul George a break, because here's what I know. Klay Thompson isn't playing 46 minutes tonight for Golden State. And that's not happening. Kevin Durant's not playing 46 minutes. Russell Westbrook's not playing 46 minutes. Paul George was alone. Terry, his 191 points in the seven-game series, most ever in Pacers history, beat Reggie Miller's record against the Magic back in the mid-90s. 191 points. And they lost. They lost Game 7.
And they signed guys to put the ball in the basket.
And to help George out, because you can't let Paul George – you can't let Paul George age – and be a seven seed. You can't do it.
You can't beat him into the ground on both sides.
Nope. If he's going to do that, we're going to have to be a two or a three or a one and fighting for a title every year, and we'll go from there.
Which they were before he broke his leg. Yeah, good stuff, T.
Yeah, we'll see you in a little bit.
Sounds good. Thanks for the call, T. We appreciate it.
Terry Stoltz, our good friend.
Got to take a quick break. A lot going on with the Pacers offseason, as you would expect.
11 o'clock tomorrow morning will be Larry Bird's press conference, and who knows what that's going to entail. We know it'll be a season-end wrap-up, but there are no formal announcements scheduled.
Well, the abrupt change for Larry was last year when he said he wanted to go a different style. I don't see him changing that abruptly yet again.
He could change his coach abruptly.
He certainly could.
Or he needs to announce plans of what's next.
Exactly right. So that's tomorrow. We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Quick programming note for you. No Reds tonight as they played this afternoon. They did win. Been needing some wins.
And they kept their major league streak intact. Their bullpen now has given up a run in 22 straight games.
Nice.
They broke that record last night, and then they've added to it today, but at least today it was in a winning effort, 7-4, avoiding the sweep against the Giants.
They have the second-worst road record in all of baseball at this moment.
But they're home to Milwaukee.
But they're home this weekend, and we've got it for you. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all 7 o'clock with Milwaukee coming to town. Milwaukee half game ahead of them in the standings, so hopefully they can make some hay. It's been a tough schedule so far for the Reds, but maybe they can turn it around starting tomorrow night.
A record like that, yikes. Yeah. It's hard to win games when you lose them in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. There's something there. But, again, it's been bullpen failure by committee. There hasn't been one stone unturned. Everybody in that bullpen Everybody's has contributed to that. So it's a team effort.
Good. That's what you want.
Four home runs today for the Reds.
You want your whole roster to contribute. Speaking of the roster, going back to the Pacers, some things to remember as we were talking off the air is that there's some of these guys that were pretty important and pretty not important, depending on which way you want to go, to the Pacers that are actually out of contract at this point. Jordan Hill, who, as we said, played a lot of the season and then got confused and left on the bench.
Well, I want to bring that quote up.
He's gone.
I think that's an interesting quote.
But there's two key players down the stretch here and into the playoffs, Jan Mahimi and Solomon Hill, that are out of contract.
Exactly right. And as we mentioned earlier in the program, those two made themselves a lot of money in the last 4 or 5 weeks, because what does the NBA love to do? They love to overpay for guys, especially when everybody's getting some more cash. Now, can they re-sign with the Pacers? Absolutely. Are they entitled to do so? No, not at all. They can go to the highest bidder, and guess what? Talks in the NBA.
A lot of money.
Lots and lots of money.
And when you were only making 1.5 like Solomon Hill last year, anything's a raise at this point.
And if you go to the 416 category or the 420 category, based on what they thought, the Pacers would be more than happy to offer into that. There's no doubt about it, but there's no guarantee. The point is, if those are the bright spots, seeing Mahimi develop late, he's going to be 30. He's 29 right now.
Right.
Hill is going to be in, his fourth year, so he's probably 26, 20. I believe he was a senior, wasn't he?
Fourth or fifth.
Whatever it is, he's in his mid-20s, mid to late 20s. Mm-hmm. Again, these are guys getting ready to pop. Do the Pacers stick with these same guys? Well, they had a chance to wrap up Hill and keep his option for what?
One more year,
Peanuts and Cracker Jacks?
Yeah, about a million and
But
a half.
It just shows you this team doesn't throw it around.
It was Solomon Hill's third year.
So they declined his option before the season started.
For his fourth year.
And he was making how much?
Less than $1.5 million.
If they're not willing to take a chance.
Again, they declined it after he started 78 of 82 games last year. They declined it on November 3rd before the season even started. He didn't do much the first half of the season either. So, I mean, well, to be fair here, he only played 59 games. But clearly late in the season, he became an option over guys like LaVoy Allen and Jordan Hill.
But when you talk about money with the Pacers, they weren't willing to put up 1 point or whatever that last year on a four-year rookie deal was to take one more look at him.
You have to imagine there was something really bad there to get his attention. The question is he appreciate the wake-up call or not?
Here's a guy that comes out the last, 2-3 weeks of the season, shoots 50% from three, shot 50% in the series, I'm pretty sure, from three, if not better than that, or right around it. And then Mahimi, who was a career third center, all of a sudden just throws up big, nasty numbers. those would be great moving forward if they were under contract, but they're not. So the Pacers are going to have to make some serious decisions here. And what style of basketball is it? Is it going to be up and down? Does Mahimi fit that style? Hill does. There's no question about it. He had no problem playing in any style. Yep. They both defend well. They both take up space. And that's why they're going to get a pay raise.
Hill averaged 28 minutes in this series, shot 58% from three-pointers on
that's
average.
A seven-game series.
Yeah, 11-19. That's 45%. Shooting. It was 15 of 16 on free throws, 28 rebounds.
I just told you.
8 assists.
He just got paid.
Only 3 turnovers.
And he got paid. And if the Pacers want to give him a home, they're not going to get any hometown discount from him either, because Solomon Hill remembers they also declined the option.
Well, that's the point. Does he appreciate that they gave him the wake-up call that got him there and take their money, or they say the heck with you then?
Did he shoot himself into a wake-up call late in the season? So that's as the NBA turns. Stay tuned next week, or stay tuned tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. as Bird will make his vision. He'll give you the wrap-up of the season, obviously, and that's going to tell you a lot of what this is going to be moving forward. We have no idea what the coaching situation is. The rumor, if you're just joining us, is Nate McMillan will be the next coach of the Pacers.
Let's be fair about Solomon Hill, too. I mean, it was 8 points a game or under, even in the playoffs in 28 minutes.
What was C.J. Miles in the playoffs?
Well, no, I'm with
you. Well, that's where I'm going with that.
I'm with you there. But
you can't get rid of C.J. Miles.
He's not making himself $10 million next year by the way he played in the playoffs.
You know what he is, though?
He's making him more than $1.5 million.
Well, that's what I said. The 416 or the 520, that's
a much more. He was a very useful player in the playoffs, and you would hope that continues.
And the other thing is, when you don't make any money, and somebody gives you something and overpays for you, you take it, because if he's 26 or 27 and signs a four-year deal, he's 31 after that, Dave.
Yeah, he's 25.
Okay, so if he signs a four-year deal, he's going to be 30. He's going to be in his prime. But a lot of guys aren't going to make 12, 14 million at ages 33, 34. Right. That's not going to happen. Well, maybe
half
it does
a season of Solomon Hill improving himself is hardly putting him out as a 15-point a game scorer.
It's not, at age 29, but what 30. It is if you get a guy like that and you can sign him for 4 years and $16 million, that's a $4 million. That's a great.
That's what Jan Mahimi was.
Look at the Pacers gambling on C.J. Miles.
Right.
He averaged what, 11, 12 for Utah. Very nice player, thinking, hey, we'll get him on the way up. Got a great deal on him. And now you remember why he only gets paid, what he gets paid, and when he scores, when he only gets scored. Yeah. So it's interesting because Miles was a high school kid. Monte Ellis was a high school kid, right? Straight out of the – I'm almost positive.
Look on Miles.
I'm almost positive. He came out of Dallas, because I looked up where he went to college once, and I don't think there was any college to go to.
I think Ellis, you're right.
I'm right on Ellis. But again, those guys have some miles on them as well, and that's what you hope was going to help put the Pacers over the top. We talked about that on Monday. Monte Ellis has been leaked 10 years.
Yeah, no college for C.J. Miles.
How old's Miles?
29. Well, 10 years experience.
So both of those guys are 10-year players.
Yeah.
You had a 10-year player in a seven-game series that gave you nothing.
I've been saying it the whole time. You signed these guys to give you veteran presence. Every team that's in there deep in the playoffs has got veterans coming off their bench. Think Andre Iguodala, guys like that. They all have these veterans. You say, oh, my God, they got that guy coming off their bench.
You want to think about this for a minute, because it's the Pacers, and they're maybe not going to get
Ellis
Andre.
Was also straight out of college, high school.
Iguodala or whatever it is. But the point was, they weren't a three seed because these guys played well and had a crappy playoffs.
Right.
They barely got in, and then they didn't fire in the playoffs. Whew.
Well, they're consistent.
Well, that's the problem. And is Vogel going to take the sword on that one? He might have to.
Yeah.
Because you can't fire the players. We know that.
We have had quite a few of these kind of veterans on the bench that have not worked great magic for the Pacers, and I still have to ask that question.
Not the first time.
That's Larry bringing them in. Is that a bad move, or is that the coach that doesn't use them properly? I don't know.
It's a little
Chase
bit of
Budinger,
all.
Again, several of them.
Bought out.
Got to take another quick break when we come back.
Won't keep Solomon Hill.
Happy underdog stories when we get back, and no more Pacers. 333-2665 is a phone number. David Glass with you in the Zone. Tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock, all three nights with Milwaukee coming to town. We'll have them right here for you on WGCL. Mentioned some underdog stories to talk about, and it is into the world of soccer we tread, and the biggest underdog story in just about any sport you can think of.
The history of life.
You want to talk Hoosiers, and that kind of level
not
of
even
thing
close.
Here.
Not even close.
Leicester City is your Barclays Premier League champion. This is the top league of the English football, soccer, if you will. And Leicester, they won their first title in their 132-year existence. Their first title. This is a
first division title.
First division title. The top league of English soccer. And Glass, there were 5,000-to-1 odds at the beginning of season.
They were.
You knew this. You also knew that in April of last year,
they were last.
They were dead last in the Barclays Premier League and in danger of being relegated down to the league below it.
There you
managed to stay up.
There you go, Pacer fans.
Before the end of the season in mid-May, and then managed to win the league the next year. So they were actually out of the Barclays Premier League 2 years ago. Almost were relegated last year, and then they won it this year as a 5,000-to-1 odds.
Yeah, they did. And to put that in perspective, Kim Kardashian was 2,000-to-1 to be the United States president. So if you want to hear ridiculous that feat is, that's why it's ridiculous. The other reason it's ridiculous, you talk about Hoosiers, great, that's one game.
Yeah.
This is 38 games, 19 home, 19 away. You play each team twice from August to the end of May, and you have other things going on during that time. So your season spans August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. 10 months.
Yeah.
10 months. Where you basically have to get everything right. The chemistry has to be right. You have to have guys that can score. You have to have guys that keep the ball out of the net. And there is no...
You can't hide. You don't fluke it.
You can't fluke it because the season is too long.
You don't fluke it home and away to every team in your league.
You can't. And you can't. And you play Manchester United twice. You play Chelsea twice.
All the big
money teams. You play Liverpool twice. You play all those teams. That's who's in your league.
Yeah.
And they have the most points of all. There's two games left in this season, and they've clinched the league.
They've done it already, yep.
That is insane. So they took them 36 of the 38 matches to do it. There is nothing even remotely close in the – I can't even give you an example of how this would work in the United States of America. It would be like the Indianapolis Indians winning the National League pennant. That's what it would be like. A 162-game season of a bunch of guys that are decent professionals that have some talent that all, unlike the Pacers, bloomed at the exact same time, all stayed healthy at the exact same time, all stayed out of trouble at the exact same time, and bought into this mythological Ubuntu Doc Rivers style that's doesn't make sense, Dave. There's nothing to compare it to.
When Leicester came up from the league below it, what they call the championship, into the Premier League, they get some money, quite a bit of money, quite a windfall of money, but not million. It's what, 20,
oh, it's
30
a lot.
Million?
It's a lot of money,
but it is not a lot of money compared to the Manchester Uniteds and the Chelseas of the world as far as what they can spend. They do spend more money when they get up there because they have more available to them, but they did not get an additional windfall of huge funds from some sheikh in Saudi Arabia that came in the door and made this all happen. They did it with the,
smoke,
for lack of a better term,
mirrors,
the more working class type of players that also led them up into the Premier League to begin with.
And they still have to perform. That's the
now,
thing.
Now, you can have a lot of different styles. A lot of the teams that spend the money, obviously they're doing it on attacking players.
Yeah, they showed a graphic. They lined up against Manchester City a couple weeks ago, and their payroll was $47 million and City's was $287 million.
Yeah.
So it's 5-to-1 against... And they won.
But City was a team that was not on a lot of radar several years ago until they got a huge injection of money from a new owner.
Sure.
So, I mean, just to show you, it could be done that way. Leicester didn't do it that way. Leicester did it by sticking behind what they still had or what they already had.
They were only up for 2 years. They didn't know any different.
Yeah.
There wasn't the money there. City had chic oil money. They eventually got Champions League television money. It's all a money game. And that's what makes this so profoundly impossible is that the playing field isn't level. The only thing that's level in that playing field is playing everybody twice home and away. That's it. There's nothing else level about
that. Just playing the games.
Their training ground, their stadium, their everything is not as good as everybody else's, but it just goes to show the human spirit, togetherness, chemistry, all that wonderful stuff that we tend to forget to believe in every once in a while. That's why it makes this great, because people can look at it from afar and say, I don't understand why that happened. How did it happen? That's why it's a story.
Yeah.
It's not a game where a 16 is going to beat a 1 in an NCAA tournament on a half-court shot.
One game.
That's
right.
A fluke.
Exactly right.
Winning a 10-month season, 19 home and away, isn't a fluke.
You can't hide.
And you can't fluke those things. And they didn't fluke it. Their leading goal, the guy that scored the most goals for them, I think, was the top two in the league in scoring.
Yeah.
So that you have to have that, and you have to have a defense that's stingy, it keeps the ball out of the net.
And they track goal differential in this, and they're tied for for second in goal differential in the entire league. There, so while they were a more defensive focused team, they still managed to score plenty of goals and have that goal differential.
And it's not one of those teams either that will just, quote unquote, if you've heard the term before, park the bus. You can't do that for 38 matches. You can do it in situations, no doubt about it.
No, you can be defensive oriented, which they were. But they scored 64 goals, which was third in the league.
You don't throw away goals. You don't throw away results. And they had a big manager to do it. Claudio Ranieri has managed it to every level in every big league across the world. He's never won anything at the champion, at the top level and anywhere. And to throw that in, so you get the right guy to do it. He does it with pizza parties and pin the tail on the donkey and all this other hokey bolokey stuff that you wouldn't think pro footballers or pro athletes of any kind would buy into.
But they do.
And they did. And they did it. And it wasn't given to them. It wasn't voted. It wasn't Georgia Tech and Washington. It wasn't It wasn't a split poll where you say, oh, they're just feeling sorry for them. No, it was meritocracy. It was merit-based. Yep. And that's exactly what happened. And there is no sporting event issue. This would be like the Colts with – no, because they're
– no.
Yeah, it would be. It would be like the Colts with Curtis Painter playing quarterback and winning the Super Bowl, to go through all that, to go through
– I like your Indians analogy.
I think that's because – well, because Vardy's a top pro. Vardy plays for England now.
And that's fine, but the Indians could very easily bring in a hitter or two and a pitcher or two. They would not be spending as much as the New York Yankees.
No, they would
or
not.
Or the Boston Red Sox. And it wouldn't be.
Maybe that's why the minor league – makes a little bit more sense than anybody.
I think it does. Let's talk about the other one, though, too, real quickly. The Champions League final is set. It is a battle of Madrid. Atletico Madrid is the one that you don't expect. That was a little bit more, though. I mean, you got to get through the entire competition, and they got through two biggies at the very end.
They sure did. They beat Bayern Munich. They beat Barcelona. If you do that, you're good in any book. The last two champions, no one has ever repeated in that league in the new format. Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid played 3 years ago in the final. So this is the second time in 3 years they've made it to the final. That's not fluky anymore.
No.
They've got an outfit that's put together. Again, not guys that are going to bowl you over when you talk about world teams, England, Spain, Argentina, but... again, chemistry, something to be said for it. And we'll see if the Pacers buy into that tomorrow.
Chemistry can produce, and we've seen it, and it's exciting when you get it that way. It's maybe a little more fun than the spoiled guys doing it, too. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday to talk about the entire weekend, so tune in then. You've been in the zone.